Hubert and Sprague.
When the Browns redid Myles Garrett's deal, there were people that suspected at that time that this paved the way for the Cleveland Browns to trade Myles Garrett. And I know that when the Browns redid that deal, the idea was to reconfigure the way and time in which they paid option bonus payment. And so that was a big deal to a lot of teams. In fact, I had a couple of teams call me and say, they're going to trade him. They're going to trade him eventually.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
It's fairly exciting. Very good fit with the quarterback. Drake May is an aggressive thrower of the football. Loves throwing it downfield. He's very accurate throwing it downfield. A.J. Brown is excellent, really, at all three levels. But contested catch situations, red zone.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan, and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice to see you again.
I am here today, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You're
doing delightful over there.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
It was a big day at the Johnson household yesterday. Big day.
He's finally crapping in the toilet?
No, God, no.
Wait a minute, I thought it was a two-day process.
It's a two-day process. It's over. He's already done. We potty training was like, dude, that was months ago. What are you talking about, dude?
Real quick.
We handled that one in like, that was like December, man. Get out of here. It's old news.
The day we did that segment about you potty training your kid and your wife saying, this should take like 3 days.
It'll be a weekend, man. It's like a long weekend.
I went home and my wife, I couldn't believe it. My wife actually agreed with your wife. And I'm like, that didn't happen for us.
It's not how it played out.
And I'm not saying we are better than you. No. Or it
like,
should be how we
had it.
Do you
have revisionist history?
Do you not remember what that process was like?
Do you remember she pissed the bed when she was four? It doesn't just cut off after 3 days.
That's not how it goes. I do feel like if we haven't tried again. I feel like if we did, it wouldn't be that hard.
You've stopped trying?
Dude, yeah. I mean, he'll go like he likes going pee occasionally on the potty. Like he'll do that. Like, Dad, I mean potty, and you put him down and he'll go. But we're not, like, forcing the issue. There's just a potty in the living room at all times whenever he wants to go.
What is the age where you're changing a diaper and you look down and you go, "This, you're too old. What is going on here?"
I mean, we're there. By the time, not there yet, but we're encroaching on territory.
Full
of that.
Sentences.
Yeah.
And it's time to stop.
If you're, like,
Dad, what are we doing today?
If you can fully communicate. What time's practice today, Dad? Hold on, I got to change the poop.
Dad,
on your
my
pants.
Legs like, you ate my butt. Can we get to practice early so we can catch?
If that is happening, we got some major issues, dude. Can you pull me aside and sit me down if I get to that point and be like, why is your son still breastfeeding? He's 7. This is weird, okay? Get him off the nipple, man.
Pretty sure your kid's straight.
Yeah. No, we will try again at some point. No, two things yesterday. One, I forgot to mention on the show, happy Masters Lottery Day to everybody. Did you put your name in the hat?
I had no idea.
You got a month. You got till the end of June. It's open for all of June. You go to masters.com.
Okay.
All right.
I'm actually going to put it in this year.
Follow the yellow brick road.
What if I win?
I will be livid. And you have to invite me because I told you to put the request in.
What is this? Garth Brooks 2.0?
Garth Brooks 2.0. You wouldn't have any idea. You wouldn't know how to do this if it wasn't for me.
Tickets? I go to the ticket area?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, new applicants only. You got to put.
I got to create an account.
You got to create an account, which is fine. It's Masters. They're not going to do anything bad. They actually need your last four digits of your social security number to request tickets because they want to make sure
they want to make sure it's you.
It's not like an algorithm or a computer that's buying 10,000 tickets and trying to resell them. So they want your firstborn's name. They need all that, your date of birth. Good they need every what color is your eyes. They need all of that information.
Your home mortgage. Information.
Yeah, how much do you pay? What's your interest rate right now?
They need all credit.
That. Right? So you got to fill that out. But that was yesterday. I'd forgot on the show, and then I did it yesterday afternoon. So make sure you get your master's ticket applications in.
Masters.com.
Come on.
If I unclick, I would like to receive emails from their latest news.
Well, emails. Get the emails.
It's like the publisher's clearing.
Who doesn't want
things?
The emails, right?
You're buying some magazines.
They don't send that many emails. It's not an overwhelming amount of emails.
I have 24,000 emails right now in my inbox.
How many do you get that you look at and you're like, oh, God. And then there's one from the Masters. It says, hello, Brandon. How are you today? And you know what? Hey, Augusta, thanks for reaching out to me and asking. I'm doing okay. My kid's not potty trained, but other than that, I'm all right. Thanks for asking. Nobody asks me anymore how I'm doing. The Masters does. every other week, all right? So go ahead and click that box. Tell them you want your emails, okay?
Sound kind of sad.
Keep you up to date on what's going on.
The Masters talks to me.
The Masters says hi. I'm like Joaquin Phoenix in that movie getting married to a computer. You guys want to do something Friday
AI night? Nance Her? Going, yeah. Hello, friend.
What are you guys doing Her? This weekend? You guys want to go get a cocktail? You want to go get some ice cream? And then I took Teddy Ballgame to the driving range for the first time yesterday.
Did you?
I did. It was a big first step. I was terrified that he was going to run out.
What is his club? What does he have? Does he have a
He's all about his pitching wedge.
Driver?
Got him a new pitching,
got
well,
a little...
he hits the driver. He likes teeing it up every now and then. But he's all about his pitching wedge.
There you go.
I got him a new pitching wedge recently at Golf Galaxy when I was forced to go to IKEA for a day. I got him a new pitching wedge.
Get him in the short game, dude.
Dude, he's working.
Don't even introduce him to a driver.
He didn't run out to try and grab the balls after. We had to communicate very clearly. You hit it, and then you grab another ball. We don't go run after
it. We
have
a supply here.
It's right here. You just grab the next ball. He had a delightful time. And they got, like, the TrackMans now at the Eastmoreland Driving Range. The last one went, like, 40 yards. It was a delightful Monday.
Have you noticed, I don't know, I can't speak to all of them, but I know there's a couple by my house, and now you mentioned Eastmo. I feel like all of these places have TrackMans now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, they are increasing prices because, I mean, those didn't come for free.
It's a catch-22 for me because it's good for the local courses because they make more money off
of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's also the catch-22 is if you ever just want to go, like, hit a bucket of balls, I feel like it's full all day long. Because people play the – like, you can do, like, we're playing Pebble Beach today, but the putting is, like, chipping or – I don't know. But you can go play around – on a course, it's got the monitors right behind you. So that's the only downside. When you're actually trying to go like, hey, I'd like to go hit a bucket, and you walk out and you're like, cool, I get to stand around for 15 minutes waiting for a bay to open up. That kind of sucks. But it's good for the courses because they need the
money. Well, there's not that many bays at Eastmoreland.
No, it's not that big. There's but you can't hit driver up top, which is like,
what's the point?
What's the point of going to the driving range if I
big
can't
dog gotta eat.
Let the big dog eat? I'm trying to hit a ball over the back fence now.
That's like me waiting for a charger at Target in my car. You have to park awkwardly across, and you're just like
waiting for somebody to move.
They walk in their car, and you're looking at them like they're an animal in the zoo. Like, oh, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's unplugging. He's unplugging. And then you got to get in it before somebody else tries to steal it. It's one of those situations.
Yeah, listener pointing out, by the way, thank you for the dates, that on it closes on June 19th.
Okay.
And then I think they start announcing the recipients of the tickets like immediately afterwards.
Gotcha.
They get their big collection of requests, millions probably, and then they, you know, you pick them out and then you find out pretty soon.
Me winning this on the first year of registering is the funniest possible outcome.
Yes, without a doubt for the show, without a doubt. Now, let me ask you this.
How many do you just say how many you want and they determine it?
Yeah, and you can, like, you know, rank what day you want to go to, but they, it's not.
Obviously, I'm picking Sunday.
Right, of course. If you got tickets to a practice round day, would you go? So, like, let's say
like
Tuesday.
They only let you go to the practice
round? Because sometimes the ticket winner is like, and sometimes it's for the par three, so you could go on Wednesday. Wednesday's the par three. They have practice rounds on Tuesday. I think Monday and Tuesday.
They give you a hot take.
You can get tickets.
I would.
I mean, you get to see the course. It's not the actual tournament.
I think that's what it is.
But you walk the grounds. It's more laid back. You could still go to the pro shop and spend thousands of dollars.
I don't. Yeah, that I'm not as keen on. But yeah,
go get yourself a new towel, buddy.
Yeah, because you can rip that one up. But I'd also, if I went to like a practice of the par three, the cool thing of that is I fly back, maybe still be able to do a show with you that week.
Sure, and then you get to watch
the tournament. And then I get to watch the whole tournament and be like, I was just there.
I was right there. I was walking on that tee box.
Yeah, I think I would. I wouldn't be stoked about it. I'd be like, really?
It's not the same as a normal day.
The practice round?
Yeah, it's not the same as a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But you think, okay, let me ask you this. I've never watched practice round stuff. You are nerds. You do. Are they more likely in the practice round, even at the Masters, to interact, engage, your autograph and stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
If you go to the driving range, you got a great shot of getting an autograph. Now you got to kind of wait around a little bit. But yeah, it's much more like it's be three or four guys playing together. They'll take 20 minutes on a hole because they'll be hitting different shots here or there, throwing little cups out and putting to where they think the locations are. So it's just much more relaxed.
Well, the reason I ask isn't because I'm some autograph hound who stands outside of hotels and driving ranges for autographs. I'd more be wanting to get a photo of Rory autographed and ask him to write to Joe Fish.
God, that would be wonderful, would it not?
I think that would change his tune in a second.
Suck it. Can it be suck it? Rory McIlroy.
Hey, Rory, my coworker has doubted you for 10 years.
He called you a little bitch, actually.
And if you could just sign to Joe, suck it, and then roars, great.
It'd be
perfect.
Delightful,
I could frame this. What a Christmas gift.
Hand that thing to him at his desk. Hey, Joe, guess what? Guess who says hi?
Who is the athlete you hate the most that if they signed your name and then suck it with their autograph, you would actually, it would convert you to being a fan because of how much they leaned into you being a hater?
That is such a good question.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Because I hate a lot of athletes.
Well, I think if Joe got that gift, legitimately, if Roar wrote to Joe, suck it, and then did his little Roar autograph, I legitimately believe Joe Fisher would completely flip.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, it's the equivalent of like saying something on the radio and then seeing somebody in person. Like, we're the same way as people online. Like, if I saw Draymond Green in person, I wouldn't
But you wouldn't ask for his autograph, I don't think.
No, I would not ask.
It was Draymond Green.
It was Draymond Green. Yeah. I wouldn't say any of the things I say on the air to his face. Hey, Draymond, I hate you. I can't stand you. You're annoying. That's a really good question, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Because I was just thinking about, I was reading about him this morning because all the live stuff's still going on.
So in a weird way, you're kind of admitting you do have something that is interesting about him to you.
Yeah.
To go from a hater to like,
somebody
means
more
are teetering.
That's like a nemesis rather than you just can't stand them individually, like period.
Somebody who's hurt you in your fandom, like beating you at some point. Yeah. Penix would be a funny one for that reason, because I don't have any animosity towards him now.
But you didn't hate Penix,
did you? But he caused
Penix,
me a lot of pain. No, I just hated him because of the jersey he wore, and he beat my team three times.
I think that's more what it was.
I'll give you Bryson. If I had like a funny one from the doucher, I can't stand him. I find him annoying. But if he wrote like a funny, hey, Dirt, thanks for all the motivation or something like that.
Patty Reed.
Patty Reed.
Since you were there that
year. At that point, I'd just say, can you sign my Masters flag? Because
exactly.
I have a 2018 Masters flag hanging in my man cave.
Yeah, but like, we need to think a little bigger here. Patty Reed is not somebody you root for that is always winning tournaments or is always at the top.
No.
Like, give me an athlete in another sport. Let's get outside of the golf.
Because
Roars is almost an exception to this rule.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who I hate that wins a lot in other. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's a good one. I think you like, could easily.
And that's like a big time
Brady.
Name to get an autograph from. Like if you had an autograph something from Tom Brady.
He said, suck it, Dirt.
I think if there was a picture you could get signed, I would want the courtroom one where he's turning around smiling at somebody walking in.
Oh, the ugly photo?
Like, hey.
Oh, the one that the video?
Yeah, I see you coming in here, Dirt. Thanks for telling me I suck at broadcasting. I got $500 million in the bank.
That's funny.
Brady would be a pretty solid one.
So I'm going through the registering process. And so every day you have to mark how many tickets and all the days, basically.
Yes, how many days you would
want
to go.
So on Monday through Sunday, I'm marking four for everyone.
Four tickets. Hey, look at that. There's one for me in there. Perfect. Thanks, buddy.
You really think I would invite you?
I mean, you got four in there. Who else are you taking?
I'd take my wife. There's one.
Does she want to go to the Masters? Would she want to
go with me? Yeah.
You think she would go?
She would understand, especially with the towel incident.
Yeah.
She would understand.
Let me go buy you a new towel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably take.
Couples trip, dude. Perfect. Let's go. I'll bring the wife. Look at that.
I'll probably take. Probably take my brother-in-law because he's taking me some cool places, and I'd probably invite Swag.
Nice.
You could do a solo show, you and Schultzy.
Whoa. We'll put our Augusta Speedos on and do a solo show.
There you go.
Hello, friends.
Hello,
if
friends.
I invited
I'm here
him
solo.
And
it's
not you.
Day one of the Masters tournament, my favorite sport event.
Would that
event
be
the
end
year.
Of the show?
That could be it. That could break us up. That could be the final straw, the straw that breaks the camel's back. I'm done, dude. I'm not coming in.
You know what's funny is I had to clean out my nightstand. My wife got us new nightstands a while ago, and you know, a nice simplistic nightstand is cool in theory until you're going through your old one. You're like, dude, I don't know what to do with all this
crap. I have all this stuff piled up
in
here.
Want to throw some of this stuff away, but I don't know space for it. It's been a disaster.
Do you find any, like, pictures or mementos from, like, people you dated before your wife? I don't know how old your furniture is, but.
No, I.
Okay. I don't.
Do you still have mementos from your dating life between wives?
I still have stuff from like high school that I stumble across.
G-strings from high school?
No, not G-strings, but pictures or whatever.
You still have photos?
You kept that piece of the saxophone?
Interesting. Whoa.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
It's a trombone, my friend.
I'm saying the gal still, you might have been with could have been a saxophone
player. She was in the choir. She was not in
She blew the flute.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look at him in band camp.
Mr. Unlimited.
But no, I didn't have anything from an ex.
Okay.
In
no ex
there.
Information okay. in there.
It'd be a little odd.
An old phone
it?
Number. I mean, you guys have been together a long time.
Do you still have anything from an ex?
I don't have any ex things in my house.
Well, no. I was going through this stuff, and in it, I was stumbling across things were popping out of like magazines and whatnot. And lo and behold, what drops on my floor? It's a big, long, lengthy card of somebody asking me to be a groomsman.
Oh, hey.
And I reread it, and I was like, God, this is emotional. And if I was to invite swag on a master strip over you, I think you would tell me to throw that away. Just
rip that thing
out,
burn it. The wedding never even happened. I don't care that it didn't happen, okay? It doesn't matter that you never fulfilled your duties. This is your opportunity, all right? This is your one chance in life.
This is your opportunity to fulfill
your
groomsmanship.
Let this pass. Don't let this moment slip away. Save our friendship, man. What's the matter with you over there? Come on.
Oh, it would be funny to take you over him.
I totally forgot about that yesterday, and I saw somebody post, June 1st, happy Matt. I was like, that's right, June 1st, Masters Lottery Day, man.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know it since they email you and tell you
I also don't read my email very often. I missed that Hello Dirt email from the Masters yesterday.
I can't do it.
Hello, Fred Ridley. How are you today?
I'm going to hit at some point. I mean, I'm looking at my personal email right here.
What's the number?
My work one is at 13,300.
Oh, I'm at 10,256.
My personal one is 25,085.
Mm-hmm. Is there a number you get to where they just shut it down?
I don't think so.
Like Gmail's like, dude, you're at 50K here, man. Like, this is over.
You're clearly not interested in this.
You're not using email for the purposes of email. Well, you're done.
But does anybody email individuals anymore? Like, I still hear references on podcasts from older people who are like, I was emailing my buddy the other day, and I'm like...
People still email. I like email friends.
I think so.
I never really... There's only one person I've ever emailed, really, like, corresponded with.
Right.
And that was my buddy I went to high school with who went back to Europe. He moved back to Europe.
So it was an easier way to
it
correspond.
It was just the You're quickest, easiest way.
I'm not calling you. I'm not texting you.
I've never really emailed you hey, how you doing? It's been show-related stuff.
Hey, what's up, Dirt?
It's usually a text.
Yeah. It's a text or a call.
Yeah, never. I don't think I've ever emailed... I've been on, like, hey, we're signing up for a golf tournament, guys. Make sure to do... Like,
That's
those kind of things.
Though.
Those
That's
are
coordinating.
Totally... Or a fantasy league, like those kind of emails will happen from time to time.
But you usually have like a link or you're attaching a form or something like that.
Here's what you need. Those ones I'll do. But just for like a general hello, how are you doing? No, never.
I want to ask people out there, do you email your friends or your family just regular hello emails?
My favorite, there's one of those posts that went viral years ago, and it was a guy who emails his buddies. They get together for beers every Friday night, and it's like some old, I don't know how old they are, but like 60s, 70s is what it reads like. And he basically emails them and then prints out talking points for their beer gathering every Friday. Of like, here's what we're going to discuss. And it's like a couple of pop culture things.
It's like a book club.
And then it's, you know.
Beer club.
They all root for the same team. So it's like, let's get to the Jets after 20 minutes of easing into it. Then we can talk about the Yankees. And it was like this email chain that he sends to his. They're all like in their upper 60s of like, here's our itinerary for the conversation tonight.
There you go.
I kind of like having some structure there, you know. Know where you're going to go.
You can only ask for two tickets for Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
You can't do four.
Yeah. I think they lessened the amount. I feel like it used to be able to do
more. Because everybody was clicking four.
Yeah, everybody said four. Yeah.
And they were probably never obliging with four in the last, like, 30 to 40 years.
Well, now I'm out. Let's get a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be there with you, buddy. Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll go to the par three. See the little kids running around.
Now, what if I chose you? I got chosen for Sunday, and I chose you as my one other.
I mean, that's
one.
You're a pallbearer at my funeral now, man. You want to carry my casket? We all know you're going to outlive me. You're in better shape. You're healthier, right? Your heart's pumping stronger than mine. I get it. Wow. It's okay. You can be a pallbearer. You want to carry that thing?
Hot take.
He'll throw me on the ground.
I want nothing to do with being a pallbearer.
You don't want to be a pallbearer?
Not at all.
You don't want to be my pallbearer?
First of all, you're going to be in a casket?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. I probably should. I'm getting old. I'm almost 40.
I want you guys, if I die first, I want you guys to circle around a big cannon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say our goodbyes.
A cannon?
And you're going to fire my naked ass into the sky.
Like as a body?
Naked body.
Naked body.
Until I break the orbit, and then I go, and I want to be shot into the sun.
Oh, okay.
I think that'd be really
fire
cool.
You into outer space.
And then,
I'll call Elon. We'll get on it.
Somebody throws confetti in the air. Yes, girl.
Confetti on the ground, like one of those... one of those little like you pull the thing and it shoots a little spoof of confetti out.
That's my Viking funeral.
Okay, that's what you want.
That's what I'd like.
I haven't thought about it. I gotta think about this now. Now that you're gonna be burying me, I need to come to terms with how it's gonna look.
You had that as like a good thing, me being a pallbearer. You can get.
I feel like that's a good thing, is it not? That's like a high,
you do that for your
recognition of friendship, is it not? Like a groomsman.
I think that's
like the death groomsman.
I feel like that's just too strong.
You're in my death party now.
I don't know about
that. You were in my bridal party. Now you're in my death party. Congratulations.
A groomsman feels different than being a pallbearer. Pallbearer's like, I got to carry your fat ass?
Well, I mean, there are certain strength and, ability requirements in order to carry a casket. That I will grant you. But if you're, generally put together, I think you're up for the task.
I have submitted my application.
Congratulations, buddy.
I'm in the lottery now.
Good luck.
I'm addicted.
May the gods be with you.
Yeah, thank God. Paul Bear, what a ridiculous thing to say.
Come on, get that thing on your shoulder. Let's go.
Give me a nice cigar and we'll call it good.
You're up doing squats at 2 o'clock in the morning. You can lift a casket. Come on.
You're an idiot.
Jump in your cold tub afterwards. You'll be all right. ease your muscles, okay?
We live such different lives in so many ways. It doesn't make any sense. All right. Well, we have obviously a lot to get to in the sports, or let's be serious and talk about sports.
Somebody said you can't play the breaking news sounder while we're on Giannis alert. They almost had a heart attack.
Touché.
I think we might have to kill the breaking news sounder.
That's my apologies.
Until Giannis gets traded.
We are on Giannis alert.
Are we on Giannis alert?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we're on.
Okay. Mark Stein, we're getting to that today.
We are absolutely on Giannis alert.
We'll get to the Giannis alert. We had a really tragic, sad thing happen. Well, tragic, sad thing.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Still too young, but.
Is it?
I think so.
I think that's statistically above
statistically,
average.
Statistically, he hit the number.
Yeah, he went past the number.
You know.
Yeah.
He could have had a little more wiggle room.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we'll talk about the local loss from yesterday. We'll get to the Giannis rumor mill stuff that popped up. But let's start in the National Football League. Quite the day for the NFL trade market. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on a Mail Sack Tuesday on 105.1 The Fan. Welcome back in on a beautiful little Tuesday, which means on this program,
Mail Sack.
Hey, Sparta TRT.
Mail Sack.
All Mail Sack questions are welcome at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. You can tweet them to us, put them in the YouTube chat, you name it. We'll get to it coming up in the final hour of the radio program.
It's going to be 90 degrees today.
I have a tee time.
Oh, look at you. Heat golf. I love a good hot round of golf.
Heat golf.
Yeah, I wish I could play with you, buddy.
I'm not going to lie. It borderline gets me horny thinking about heat golf. That's where I am in my life. That's
walking around, sweating, wiping your face off. It's all muggy and hot out.
I'm 185 out. I'm using 8-iron because the ball's traveling further.
You got an extra 15 yards in your bag today, buddy. Go utilize it.
Poll question is up at Dirt and Sprague. Do you email family or friends just to catch up? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. I don't believe anybody does anymore.
No, I don't think so.
I think if you do, you're of an age. And my age guess.
What's our over-under number?
47 to 64 is the age demographic. I would say if they're doing it, that's who's doing it.
47 might be a little young for me, but I agree with the upper portion of that age group. I think you're definitely in your upper 50s. If you're in your upper 50s, I could see you doing that.
Well, you have to think, 47, so I'm 39. They're 8 years older. Where were they when the AOL email blast started going, right?
That would have been,
that's their introduction into the internet.
Would have been high schoolish, probably.
Yeah, it's the way of life for them.
Yeah, it's
that's
a different
why
lifestyle.
I think it's there.
I just think it's been around long enough. If you still do it, good for you, man. It's probably a fun way. You can be a little more expansive on your thoughts. Nobody wants to read that long of a text message. Somebody sends you a long one that's like four paragraphs. You're like, I don't want to read all that. But an email, maybe you're more willing to do that.
Happy 5-year anniversary. 5 years ago today, you know what happened?
What happened 5 years ago today?
Damian Lillard, 55 points, 10 assists, 12 made three-pointers.
That was 5 years ago, huh?
5 years ago today.
The CJ out of bounds game was 5 years ago today.
CJ out of bounds game.
How about that, man?
You know what? Why do you reference it as the CJ out of bounds game? That's literally one of the greatest playoff performances in NBA history.
It's the greatest in our franchise's history. It's not even a debate. It's the most dominant playoff performance we've ever seen from any player in a Blazer uniform.
I would agree with that, actually.
It's on the top 10 list probably of playoff games of all time in the history of the NBA.
55 points. I think he had, 24 shots?
It was insane. Like, the number of field goal attempts was insane. He couldn't miss. He just, all the threes that he made. I mean, look, you're right. I just will never get over the fact that that's when they broke me. That's when they mentally broke
me. I know, but that has to be Dame's game. You can't call it the CJ stepped out of bounds game. We remember that moment.
Defined his legacy as a Blazer.
I think it wrapped up everything in a weird way.
Well, it should have wrapped up everything, and then they decided to fire the coach and not the general manager and add Norman Powell and start three guards the next year.
Wasn't Norm Powell on that team? I think he was on that team. They just kept him back.
They gave him a contract extension and re-signed him and then started three guards to open the next year.
This says it's the first 55-point 10-assist game in NBA playoff history. Have we had one since? Am I forgetting who could have had one?
55 and 10?
It's the first one in NBA playoff history. Is it the only one?
We didn't even go back to the playoffs until this year, right? That was our last time in the playoffs, wasn't it?
Well,
that was the beginning of our tank.
But it's playoff history, not just Blazer history.
Oh.
It has to be the only one. I can't think of another player that had that. Did Jokic have a game?
What was Giannis's closeout game?
That would have been close. I think he had 50, though, didn't he? 51?
He had 50. I just can't remember exactly how many he had.
Well, this one's 55 and 10, so didn't meet that threshold there, Bob.
That's a good question.
The Giannis closeout game is a good call by you.
Yeah, game 7, I'll never forget. It's one of the most dominant games we've ever seen. Soon to be a Blazer.
We'll talk about that today.
Come on down, Giannis. We got Greek food.
NFL was popping yesterday when we got off the air. We had a couple big trades.
I'd say so. We're sitting out there, and our boss is like, I just got a text. We're like, what? No way. Oh, my God.
Yeah, our boss got a text from a Rams friend of his and was like, my buddy's saying Garrett's a Ram. We're like, what?
No chance. So that didn't happen.
Open up the socials, and lo and behold, there we see it from Adam Schefter, Cleveland Browns. Traded two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year Myles Garrett to the LA Rams for two-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Jared Verse and multiple draft picks, a first-round draft pick in 2027, a second-round pick in 2028, a third-rounder in 2029. This is one of the biggest trades in NFL history.
Without a doubt.
And now the Rams, who we already know were all in for next year, they are certainly telling you Super Bowl or bust type season for them.
They have traded two first-round picks this offseason and have added one of the best corners in the NFL and the best defensive lineman in the NFL. And then you add the second and the third that they add on top of that. It just there's a level of jealousy because I love the way they run their team. I love the identity of F them picks. They're back to that now. Some of the track record, when you look back over the last 10 years, it's crazy to see how few of first-round picks they've had and who they have taken. And so you felt like you were close. You feel like you got a two-year window here with Matthew Stafford to go get one, maybe two more.
Go try to win two.
I don't give a rip about a 2027 first-round pick. You can rebuild at any moment after that, and they feel like they've already got their quarterback of the future. What the hell, dude? I love what the Rams did yesterday.
I don't know how if you're a Rams fan, you don't love it. They might be they were the first team in NFL history to win a Super Bowl on their home field. They're looking to do it again this year because the Super Bowl's back in L.A.
Yeah.
So they might be able to win two Super Bowls in L.A. They obviously want to capitalize on that last year of Stafford with the extension they just gave him. Garrett's under contract. If Puka Nacua can stay sober or not crazy, he's the best receiver in football, debatedly.
Right.
So you mentioned this. So I saw this from Field Yates when I found out about the trade, and I think this is kind of a crazy perspective, dude.
It's insane to look back over the last 10 years.
Rams first-round picks since 2016. This is a 10-year sample size, all right? 2016, Jared Goff. 2017, none. 2018, none. 2019, none. 2020, none. 2021, none. 2022, none. 2023, none. 2024, Jared Verse. 2025, none. 2026, Ty Simpson. In 10 years, they have one player still in L.A. from a first-round draft pick.
So crazy.
Because Goff became Stafford, and yesterday Verse became Garrett. I think a lot of draft people would argue other points of some of this conversation. They certainly have lived by the motto of F them picks, even though they kind of tried to morph out of that very quickly when they drafted Jared Verse.
Well, they had a couple of down years in there. Yeah, where Stafford got hurt, and it was kind of, we didn't know if McVay was going to retire.
McVay was contemplating retirement.
Let's use some of these picks, right? There's no need to trade him right now.
But it's really hard to tell a fan, I think, when you look at a team like the Rams, and they're kind of the exception to the rule, really, but it's still hard to probably tell a fan, hey, you need to get super geeked up about the 21st pick in the NFL draft. Hey,
right.
The 14th pick in the NFL draft. It's not that those picks don't matter, that you can't get good players. Again, they're the outlier. But also the idea of, like, holding on to something because the value chart says to, they clearly don't abide by that, and they haven't needed to. They were 5 yards from winning the NFC title game last year. They already won a Super Bowl in the Stafford era. They're as loaded as you could possibly be from a talent standpoint going into this year. They were already the favorites. They're going to be far and away, I think, the favorites. Let's get the live odds on that of adding Garrett now. 10 years and the only player of a first-round pick is the guy they literally just drafted who's not going to play.
No. It's crazy, dude, because you look at – I'll give you the records for those years. So 2016, 4-12. Then they went 11-5, wild card round of the playoffs.
That was 2017 McVay's first year?
2017 was his first year,
okay,
yes.
There you go.
Donald was DPOY. Gurley was offensive player of the year. They lost to the Falcons. The next year, they go to the Super Bowl, lose to the Patriots.
Yep.
The next year, Goff has a little bit of a down year. They go 9-7, just miss the playoffs. Then they make it back in 2020. They go 10-6, beat the Seahawks in the wild card round, lose in the divisional round to Green Bay. 2021, they win the Super Bowl. 2022, down year, 5-12. 23, 10-7, wild card round playoffs. 24, 10-7, divisional round of the playoffs. And last year, 2025, 12-5, and they get all the way to the NFC title game. So since they started this idea, basically post-2016, right, or the last 10 years, that is a total of 1, 2, 3 years that they did not make the playoffs, including the very first year. So you can almost start it at 2017 and say since that, the Goff pick, they've only missed the playoffs twice.
In the
McVay
era.
And they haven't
era.
Used essentially a single first-round pick, and when they do, they trade that player away before they end up paying him.
What is it about them specifically for you guys? The Eagles, I think, are in this. It just feels like they always land the player.
Yeah, they always find a way to do it.
And like, I'm like, I saw this deal yesterday, and Verse is a very good player. In fact, of the first two seasons of an NFL career, he's got the third best pass rush percentage. You know one of the players ahead of him?
Miles Garrett?
Yeah.
Hey, hey!
So everybody saw this, and I was like, it's cool. So the Browns got the lesser of the...
They got a cheaper
player.
Miles Garrett,
they
and
got
they got
cheaper Miles.
That's why I don't hate it for yeah three
no,
future
I mean,
picks.
Look, I don't hate it for
they're
Cleveland.
Going nowhere.
I
they
know,
suck.
I get it.
Their coach
yes.
is going to get fired. They don't have a quarterback. Like
I totally get it.
The only thing about Miles Garrett in Cleveland is a legacy play of like, do you want him to play his whole career in Cleveland?
And if I'm in Cleveland, I'm telling you, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
this
and I don't blame him for
off.
That.
This pisses me off. I'm not anti Jared Verse. If I'm a Cleveland Brown fan. That's our that's their Damian
yeah,
Lillard.
It's their like, Joe Thomas. It's
that's their Joe
yeah.
Thomas defensive line side, right? Right? So, like, yeah, he's a good player. I get it. They're not in this window. The NFL windows are quick mm-hmm. and fast, man. In the minute you're not contending, the very next season, one player can change everything. See Washington a couple years ago, right? So, I hear everything that everybody's saying and why it makes sense, and I read Barnwell wrote a really good piece, and he explained it to me, and I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I still would be pissed off because I am somebody that if I'm a diehard fan of something, like I'm a Niner fan, I want Fred Warner to be a lifetime
yeah.
Niner.
Yeah, there's certain guys.
It will it crushed me to watch Jerry Rice be a Raider.
Yeah,
You don't want to watch your favorite players of your favorite teams
put on a different uniform,
even when you know the end is near. You're yes. like, dude, I'd rather just go through it. But them pumping Garrett to the Rams, it just makes me go, how, man? It's always them. If I told you in two seasons, so 2 years from now, Stafford's at the end, right? The season is over. If I told you what team would you bet $100 is going to get Joe Burrow in a trade?
It would be the Rams.
It would be the Rams.
Somehow, some way. I don't know
They're
how it would work, but it would figure it out.
They're going to get four first-round picks in 2035 to 2038.
Right.
Like, whatever it is, it's going to be the Rams, yeah, right?
The biggest thing about them, too, that just doesn't make – I just don't – there are smarter people out there than me. I grant you that. The financials of this, how? They just gave Stafford an extension. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. They traded a first round pick for Trent McDuffie. What did they give Trent McDuffie after they traded for him?
It's
the biggest contract in NFL history for a corner. What did Myles Garrett just sign last year?
Monster extension.
The biggest contract extension, I think, for a defensive player in the history of the NFL. Devontae Adams is making decent coin. Like, I know they got some guys still on rookie
deals. Nacua's about to get a deal. He's up.
And he might be a guy that they say no. Like,
no way.
You're not worth the trouble.
If he stays clean off the field.
Is he going to stay clean off the field?
I don't know, but if he does, they're going to have to pay him.
If he stays clean, then sure. But if he has another year where it's like, why are you on a YouTube stream doing anti-Semitic things again?
I mean, I'm with you
there. I don't blame him at all for saying, we'll be fine, we'll move on from you at that point. But it just, that's the thing about the Rams. It's not just the idea that they get the player, although they have a unique ability to do that. It's how are you making this work financially?
He's going to make, by the way, $5.7 million.
Puka?
That is debatably the best contract in the sport.
Yeah.
For production, I mean, you probably go other rookie contracts, right? But $5.7 million to have maybe the best receiver if he plays?
Yep.
I'll say this, and then I want to talk about the other trade in the NFL and continue on this. I'm not even certain, Dirt, I have another close best take that I've given in my radio life than telling you the salary cap is fake in the NFL. I've been saying this. I don't even know what year I first said it. I said it, and people were like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? This is exactly what I'm talking about. How does it work? How? I know the cap's exploded.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. They always get away with this. I'm tired of this.
There's a funny connection, too, to the NBA. I know we're against it. We're their owner. Same owner, by the way. Stan Kroenke, Nuggets and Rams.
Yep.
What are they going to maybe not do with Peyton Watson this offseason?
Pay him.
Not pay him because they don't want to go into the luxury tax. But Myles Garrett, come on down, buddy. Come on down.
Another big trade. We'll continue on in the NFL next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. The red-hot rumor mill is going in the NBA, and we're a part of it. Also, a former Blazer doing a tell-all interview. One of those things not great to be sharing publicly.
No.
Not his business to be sharing it.
Also not going to play the audio because it's not in English.
Kind of pointless to play audio and reveals what the Carmelo experience was like in Portland.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Not surprising. But Myles Garrett's a Ram. And so,
good luck, NFC West.
I'm getting excited for the 2027 season as an NFC West fan.
Yay!
I'm kind of stuck back in the same spot of like, you know, just make the wild card. It's a good season.
Just get to the playoffs, baby.
We make the playoffs, and I'm happy.
You guys have kind of, I mean, the Niners have kind of had the Rams number over the years. It's been a unique thing in the regular season. Even Mac Jones beating them the fumble at the 1-inch yard line last year.
Yeah, this is different.
I get it. Now, wait until Trey Wingo was hinting yesterday that it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Aaron Donald unretires for a year.
As depressing.
How old is Aaron Donald now?
I don't think he's very old.
No, he retired super
not young. As old as you think.
Is he 33 or 34?
Aaron Donald is 35.
I mean, if you load manage Aaron Donald,
he retired.
You say,
he was 33 when he retired. Now he just turned 35 at the end of May.
Counting the playoffs, so let's say they live up to their hype, so they get the bye. Yeah.
First round bye. You got three playoff games, division round, championship game.
If you're
and Super
using
Bowl.
Him in specific, you know, pass rush situations,
if you tell him you only have to play 8 games to get your contract fully guaranteed,
I think he'd do it,
including the playoffs.
Yeah, go get another ring, buddy. Go play alongside Myles Garrett. Why not?
We have Miami next week. You don't need to play.
We play the Browns next week. We don't need you. We'll be all right.
Here is Adam.
Miles has that one covered.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, is there a Ram? I didn't even look at that. Do
I'll look at their schedule.
I don't know if that's their cross opponents this year. I don't think it is.
I'll take a quick peekaboo.
Let me know if I'm wrong on that.
There is no Cleveland Browns on the schedule.
Is it AFC West?
It is A. Hold on. There's a
or
Bills.
Or no, it's AFC East.
AFC
or
East.
That's NFC East.
No, it's AFC South as your crossover. AFC they do South. Play the Bills.
Thank you.
The Bills are in there, but you got the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, so and the Raiders.
So AFC West.
AFC West, sorry. Yes,
no, he said
AFC
South.
West.
I was like, what?
Yes.
Here's Adam Schefter on how the Rams got Myles Garrett.
The Browns are adamant all along. Like I told you an hour ago, we're not trading him. We're not trading him. But the Rams began pursuing Myles Garrett. They kept pursuing Myles Garrett. They didn't stop pursuing Myles Garrett until they were eventually willing to include Jared Verse in the trade. Once Jared Verse got included in the trade, the Browns were interested. Okay, we get a player now for the short term, and we get draft pick compensation, including a first-round draft pick in 27. That we can live with. That we can live with. And Myles Garrett's going to fly to L.A. tomorrow night. The Rams are doing what they do. If you remember, the year before, or the year that the Super Bowl was being played in SoFi, they traded for Matthew Stafford that year. And now, in the year that the Super Bowl is back at SoFi, they're trading for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so they got Myles Garrett and the Rams now.
I get the Verse point of it. Like, I guess it depends on what you want out of a trade. I tend to agree with your overall stance. But if you're just breaking it down from, like, a football return, what they got, Verse is an incredible young player. We understand that. He's going to need an extension, what, after next year, I believe? I think so. You're gonna have to pay him.
He's gonna get paid. He's
gonna get
really
paid a good
player.
Amount of money.
Are you surprised there wasn't another first involved?
Yes.
I was too.
It's the Rams' 2027 first round pick. If we're guesstimating right now, where would we guess that pick's going
to
end up?
Mid to back end of the draft.
27, 26, 29, 30th, 31st, somewhere in that range. Like, so you're getting a back end of the first round pick. Yes, a good young player. So I understand that draw, but he's going to need an extension. And so you're going to have to pay him. And maybe that's not a big deal for them because the Deshaun Watson thing will come off their books. But that was the only part of it for me. I get wanting a good young player. I would have hoped for two firsts if I were a Browns fan.
Here is Todd Monken asked if he was assured that Myles Garrett would be a Brown when he took the job.
I was never assured of anything when I took the job other than once I signed my contract and whatever my contract said, that's what I was assured. And no matter what any of us coaches sign up for is we show up every day, we coach the guys that are in the building like we've done all since we've been here. That hasn't changed.
So he wasn't assured of anything other than the contract that he signed.
Poor Todd Monken.
Let's get another coach's thought. Let's go in division. Mike McDonald of the Seahawks was asked his reaction to Myles Garrett going to the Rams.
Bro, I really don't care. I don't care. I just care where we're at. Not trying to be a chotch, but just don't care.
Can we get Chotch as a drop?
Oh, yeah, that'll be a drop.
Chotch needs to be. Don't be a Chotch. I've never heard that phrase before. Have you guys ever heard of Chotch? Have you ever heard that one?
I think he was trying to say Chaunch.
Yeah, I think
Chaunch. Okay, I was going to say Chotch. Yeah.
When I heard it, I was like, am I been saying it wrong the whole time? Which is very possible, but I love
I don't care.
I love the beginning. We should pull the beginning of the drop to the.
Yeah.
Bro, I really don't care.
That is a good. That's
I really don't care.
You just dropped one of these.
No! Cares.
Shut up, Rams. We beat you in the NFC title game, all right? We don't care you got Myles Garrett.
I don't know how much time I'm going to have with on A.J. Brown trade stuff here being kind of against the clock, and I feel like it's owed more than the three-minute reaction.
Tend to agree with you. I mean, the other angle of this that I saw, people had some hilarious posts about Joe Burrow yesterday, like living his best life, like the LeBron, I can't believe this is my life moment now that Myles Garrett is out of the division. He doesn't have to play him twice a year anymore.
Well, here's the problem. His former teammate who plays the same position is still in his division, but not his teammate.
Yes, he is.
He's a Raven now.
Yes, he
thanks
is.
Thanks to the Max Crosby trade right. being rescinded there. I did see that Casey, the producer, you know, for Patrick, Danny, and Luke, he came out and he just did, yes!
He's a Steeler fan.
He's
happy.
A Steeler fan.
Get him out of the AFC North, man.
And I said, get the hell out of here. Go away. Nobody wants you.
You got Aaron Rodgers, dude. You're not going anywhere this year anyways. This does not pertain to you.
You won the division. You suck.
I always forget they won the division last year.
That division was terrible last year.
It was horrible last year.
The Ravens kept choking away games. They couldn't win. The Steelers barely won the division. They won it by default. The Bengals were banged up and garbage on defense. And the Browns have been the Browns forever.
Forever. How high up on the list of teams turning around and getting good is the Browns? Of like, how weird would that be to see them launch a Kansas City style dynasty?
Well, that's the funny thing about all this. Obviously,
because our entire lives they've been one thing.
Yeah.
The Browns have never not been ass.
Well, but the Lions,
Lions is great. Yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet. They haven't even been to a Super Bowl yet. They've elevated to being, oh my God, they're not a laughing stock anymore.
Sure.
But like seeing a team like that, the Warriors were this. Like the Warriors, our entire lives were nothing, and then it's Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and they won a title.
But the Lions were mostly that, even though they haven't won it. I think because of the Lion turnaround, if the Browns did this in 2 years.
Doesn't surprise you at all. I mean, it's the NFL.
It is the NFL, right?
They've just been so bad for so long.
They've been terrible.
That's all they know, man.
The funny thing is how much conversation this has generated about the Rams. And rightfully so. They got the best pass rusher. They got debatably the best football player yesterday, right? Like,
yes.
Quarterback is the most important position. We know this. But when you make a real argument of who is the best player in the NFL, his name is in the conversation.
It's like him, Christian McCaffrey.
Yes. Whoever the best offensive lineman is to you, and then all of the quarterbacks.
Right. He can win. He can single-handedly take over a game.
Yeah. I mean, how many games did the Browns – they were in contention. Let me see if I can find this Barnwell stat.
They were competitive in a lot of games last year, and they were all low-scoring. They pulled off some upsets early in the year. I remember the Green Bay game where they knocked him off, like – and that was largely in part to Myles Garrett having a record-breaking season.
Let's see if I have this here. Here we go. So last year, the Browns, now they did have the defensive rookie of the year in Schlesinger.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns defense was 8th in full season DVOA and 6th in points allowed per drive.
They're very good.
You know why?
Because they had the defensive player of the year on their defensive line.
Even in games they didn't win, which was most of them, they were largely in it because of how much he wrecked them. The funny thing is, all of the conversation today is how can the Browns do this and, oh, the Rams are a juggernaut who will be unstoppable. The funny thing is what you point to. What if they don't win the Super Bowl in L.A., mm-hmm. and in 2 years we're talking about the Browns being absolutely loaded?
Yeah, the Browns have a one-win season. They draft whoever the quarterback is.
Yep.
That guy hits. You have multiple picks lingering.
Your running backs are good.
Running backs are solid. Verse is great. You give him a contract extension. Like
Jerry Judy seems to be pretty good.
It'd be really funny if that's the way.
It would be.
Because that's the irony.
That is how the NFL operates, though.
You bring up the Lions. The Lions started this run by doing what?
Yeah.
Trading their franchise. Quarterback.
Well, I know, and it worked out a little better for the Rams.
The Rams got the ring, sure. But they won the trade in that angle of it, but it also launched the modern iteration of the Lions, who have been competitive in a playoff contending team every year.
Loaded second hour. We'll move on from the NFL. We'll get back into it. A.J. Brown was traded. We'll talk about that. But in hour number two, we kick it off. The Blazers at the top of the rumor mill. How about us? And we'll talk about our local loss from Rick Adaman, who passed away yesterday. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.